This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu. It's a Thursday today, but for some weird reason, I actually woke up thinking it was a Friday today, Arvind.
And traffic also seems like pretty clear outside. I guess everyone either went back to their hometowns already or just took the day off so that they can drive back in the afternoon. Either way, we hope you stay safe on the highways wherever you're driving back to. Anyway, this is Arvind Yuvaraj, and Jeff and I will be keeping you company over the next 30 minutes with some pretty interesting SME and tech news. Let's start off with the story about Facebook's new feature, which is a copycat of Snapchat.
Yeah, so we know that, you know, Facebook and Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, have been trying to compete with Snapchat's Stories model for a while now. And Instagram actually put a direct dent in Snapchat by placing its own version of Snapchat's Stories above its feed. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see it at the top of your screen when you turn on the Instagram app. And now Facebook is doing the same thing. The company just launched Facebook Stories in Ireland, which looks exactly like Instagram Stories. Mm-hmm. And they plan to roll out more of these in more countries in the coming months.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with what Stories is, it's basically a feature that allows you to share photos and micro videos through a slideshow which disappears after 24 hours. And once you receive the upgrade, you'll be able to see Facebook Stories, the bar on top of your feed, so you can't miss it. It'll be staring you like right in the face.
Now, the thing is, Facebook has tried to copy Snapchat a bunch of times with other features like their selfie mask-filled camera, and then on Instagram Stories, even on their Messenger app, which has a new camera. But this Facebook Stories feature is like a direct attempt at competing with Snapchat's user base.
Yeah, Facebook says that the way people share is changing in significant ways, and that how people share today is different than 2 years ago. So it's much more visual now, and that's why they wanted to make it fast and fun for people to share creative and expressive photos and videos with whoever they want, whenever they want.
Yeah, to be honest though, I actually never really cared about Snapchat only until recently, and mm-hmm. I never really got around to actually using it often. As for Instagram Stories, because it's actually constantly up there on the platform and I'm a fairly active Instagram user, mm-hmm. I've actually used it more than Snapchat because, you know, I keep seeing this popped up over and over again. And if actually, you know, if this feature pops up both on Instagram and on Facebook, I'm probably bound to use it one day because it's just there all the time staring at me, and, you know, and it's that one social media account that I need to do for all my stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the point. I mean, I think Facebook tried to push their other Snapchat copycats with things like Poke and Slingshot, and even had a similar feature hidden behind their news feed. But now it'll be impossible to ignore Facebook's new Stories feature because it'll become part of your homepage whenever you log in, just like Instagram.
Yeah, you know what's weird? How will Facebook handle Stories on desktop? Because, you know, Instagram is not really a desktop app, it's just purely mobile. But a lot of people actually still use Facebook on desktop. I do all the time, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe this feature actually won't be available there.
Yeah, I think it's just like Spotify, because Spotify on mobile is different from the Spotify desktop. They have a few major differences, like Spotify desktop doesn't allow you to listen to podcasts.
Mm. Well, we'll have to wait and see how they sort of handle that. But the fact is, Instagram Stories, they have managed to get about 150 million daily users in just 5 months. Which means that Facebook Stories could definitely be a big hit as well. I'm not quite sure how many people were aware of this, but actually Facebook tested something called Quick Updates back in July. But then they quickly said that, you know, they won't actually launch it. So who knows, maybe the success of Instagram Stories changed their mind.
Yeah, Snapchat is pretty popular in North America, especially with teenagers and the younger crowd. But Facebook's user base and global footprint is massive, and this launch could actually prevent Snapchat from growing further, especially in the international region.
All right, now we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about how GoDaddy, the popular domain name and website hosting platform, they've completely upgraded its site builder to feature more than 1,500 templates. That's coming up next on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvind. Now, some of you may have your own websites, and some of you actually may be thinking of creating your own websites but haven't done so. and probably haven't done so for a very long time because, you know, some of us who are like me, we already got like my own domain, but I haven't done anything to it at all. Because, you know, building a functional, professional looking website in today's world can be actually very complicated. And that's why you've got platforms like Squarespace and Wix. They're getting a lot of traction. I'm sure you've seen a lot of their YouTube ads and Facebook ads. And it's a fairly simple way to create a professional looking website for those who aren't technically savvy. I actually purchased my site from GoDaddy, and it's one of the reasons why I haven't actually done anything with it is because, you know, building one that actually looks professional and functional from the get-go is very complicated when you have so many different platforms in, you know, all in different areas in that sense, right?
And even with, you know, site builders like Squarespace and Wix, even though they're there to help, some are tricky because our teammate, Angeline Thay, she's been struggling for a while now and even got frustrated and kind of just left her site all alone in the domain desert. Well, here's some good news for Angie. GoDaddy is aiming to tackle complexities around building a site, just like how they did with buying a domain. So it's called GoDaddy Go Central, and it's a combination of both a website builder and a set of marketing tools that makes it easy for anyone to design and maintain their own website. This service will replace GoDaddy's previous website builder tool, which was lagging behind the likes of, like you said, Squarespace and Wix. So now you could say GoDaddy has become that all-in-one platform that you need to buy, build, and design and maintain your own domain and website.
Yeah, and it's, with its updated platform, it's just actually a few steps, you know, to transform your idea into a site. But of course, it depends again on how intricate you want your website to be. The more detailed you go, the more work you actually need to put in, and also you got to probably understand of the technical parts of it to a certain extent. But because, you know, most of us would just want to stick with templates in that way, right? This is where GoDaddy's Go Central has the advantage. While most services, they sort of limit your options to categories, you know, where it's very broad, and you then expect to customize it yourself. Go Central actually support over 1,500 different site categories and industries at launch, and it goes in very detailed as well. So categories like, if you're football coach or swimming instructor, instead of just having like, you know, a general sports category.
And the company also has a deal with Getty Images and other vendors to automatically pull in stock images associated with your industry. And if your industry isn't supported, GoDaddy will use machine learning or AI, again with the AI, to find the closest match, and it will also work on adding it to the database as an officially supported category, which is super, super impressive.
Yeah. Another impressive feature is that you can actually do all this by just using your mobile phone. The entire platform is actually mobile friendly, and all the sites that are created are also responsive to the same looks on desktop and, you know, mobile devices.
Yeah, so how much extra then for all these goodies? Well, the platform has a few pricing tiers, and it starts at about $5.99 US per month for the personal plan, and then it goes up to about $29, about $30 US per month for an e-commerce option that will let you sell goods on the site. Notable, these prices all include hosting for your site, which when you think about it, it's a good deal considering GoDaddy charges you anywhere from about $3.99 to $7.99 per month, just a Linux server if you wanted to host your own site.
Yeah, so it seems like GoDaddy is flexing its muscles in this space, especially if the company wants to please its long-term investors. You see, domain revenue is typically recurring, but it only kind of happens once in a year when you really think about it. And on the other hand, GoDaddy can now actually bill monthly for services like a site builder, which will be under their web presence and hosting division.
Yeah, the division made more than about $170 million in revenue in the third quarter of 2016. GoDaddy must be saying, like, who said 2016 was a terrible year, right?
Definitely not for them, though. Personally, I would recommend HostGator. It's a good hosting platform as well. So you can actually keep your domain names on GoDaddy or on name.com or even your local place as well. There's tons of them, you know. So you can actually host your actual website on HostGator because, again, it's easy, and their customer support has been great as well. It's just a personal suggestion, but I know, you know, people who are happy with GoDaddy as well. If you want a super simple way to, you know, have a blog without the hassle, then probably Tumblr is your options. Yep, There's a whole bunch of ways to do kinds of things. So not meant for professional websites and, you know, not much of customization, but it's a simple, no-nonsense blogging platform. And it's quite popular as well.
Yep.
Now, we'll take a short commercial break. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about Alibaba. Of course, we have to talk about Alibaba.
Of
the
course.
Giants, yeah. They have just announced something as well. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. And we're back with the Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff, together with Arvin. Now, Alibaba, they finally confirmed this week that after months of rumors, it has raised $1.1 billion in funding for its spin-off, Kobe Business. And in case you don't know, Kobe, it helps people find deals at restaurants, gyms, karaoke bars, and other local venues.
Yeah, so Kobe is a joint venture founded in 2015 by Alibaba and Ant Financial, which is it's Alibaba's offshoot that manages its Alipay service and other financial tech initiatives. So basically, the idea behind it is to generate business for a local local retailers by bringing them online while also offering new commerce opportunities for consumers. So for example, helping a local pizza chain reach new customers or making a pop grocer more accessible to people with limited time to go there in person.
Yeah, and this confirmation about Kobe's funding was actually tucked away quietly in Alibaba's earnings report. It kind of had to come out when Jack Ma's company announced their investment for the year. And if you're curious, Alibaba ranked in a whopping $2.5 billion net income from their total revenue, up 54% in the past year of $7.7 billion.
Yeah, and if you think that's impressive, Alibaba's online shopping empire has about 493 million users, so that's half a billion, who access its China marketplaces every month on mobile devices, which is up by 393 million, which was the number at the end of 2015. And Alibaba makes the equivalent of about $35 in revenue from each shopper. So that's more than 100 ringgit from each shopper, which is not bad. I mean, this is not growth. This is like Bruce Banner becoming the Incredible Hulk. Kind of, it's going to burst one day.
This is crazy. Yeah, and it looks only like it's set to grow. Now, you know what else is growing? Fake ads. Well, and Google, they've been under a lot of pressure because of the power of its massive ad network, which is the biggest on the internet, and how it can be used for dodgy and sometimes illegal purposes. And because of this, Google is using its own tech to fight the problem. And the company just announced that it's took down 1.7 billion ads that violated its policies in 2016.
Yeah, and if you're wondering what these ads look like, they're basically suspicious links that point to spam or bots or other problematic ads that intrude your online space and probably link to sites that aren't very safe. So basically all those, you know, those ads that flash and say, this housewife earned about 3,000 in a week, find out how, or the formula doctors never want you to see. It's those kinds of ads.
Yeah, and just as a point of reference, 1.7 billion is double of what Google took the year took down the year before. So you can see that, you know, they're very aggressive about cleaning up their ad network. And Google is desperately needing to do this. And the whole fake news issue has been putting social media networks like Facebook and search engines like Google under fire for not, you know, properly filtering the good sites from the dodgy ones. So it's good to see that Google is taking these efforts very seriously. And the problem was that, you know, Google elevated, you know, dodgy sites to the same level as legit news sources, which is wrong in, you know, every way possible. And that's why Google had to sort of update its policy so that, you know, these iffy ads and fake news sites wouldn't get the same visibility.
Yeah, and one of their big sweeps was back in July when they banned payday loan ads, which led to 5 million ads being immediately banned from its network. We don't really see that problem here in Malaysia, but payday loans are a big deal in the States. John Oliver even did a whole segment about it. And they finally got banned by Google. So think of it as DBKL cleaning up all those, you know, the Pinjaman Belesin, 100% Boleh Dapat, those kind of stickers from every streetlight and pillar in KL. That's basically what Google is doing now. They're saying, no, you can't keep sticking these dodgy ads everywhere.
Yeah, the volcano massages under the pillars of your flyovers and all, right? Those got to stop. Now, the thing is, the process isn't as easy as just removing the ads altogether. Google admits that the battle is ongoing and will keep going on because filtering these ads isn't as simple as, you know, just deleting putting every dodgy site out there. For example, those trick-to-click ads, they now come with system warnings, which is good. They normally lead you to malware links if you click on them. But why these ads are not just removed altogether is another question, and we just don't seem to have an answer to that just yet.
Yeah, and another problem is clickbait advertising, or as Google calls it, tabloid cloaking. You've surely seen this on your Facebook feed or on any blog news site on the internet. It's the headlines like, "This homeless man was attacked in public. What happens next will bring you to tears." Mm. Or, you know, "People made fun of this old woman. What she did next will shock you." Stuff like that. So the problem is legit sites or even viral news sites, which is not bad, also use this tactic to get people to click on their link, which then takes users to their page. And These are legit websites. They just use like shock tactic headlines to grab people's attention because the concept works so well.
Yeah, clickbaits, I tell you. And obviously Google can't shut down these websites because, you know, they haven't done anything wrong. Mm. But at the same time, it sort of makes it difficult for their technology to tell the difference between proper websites and the ones that are actually, you know, properly dangerous in a sense. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see for a better algorithm, or of course we got to trust our good old AI to become advanced enough to tell the difference without attacking the good websites.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Google is waiting for. It's all about escalation. Every time they come up with a way to stop dodgy ads, the scammers invest in more elaborate ways to trick their systems. So it's basically a race for Google to finally figure out a way to totally destroy these ads once and for all.
And I can't wait for the day when you can actually surf the web without seeing these, you know, annoying ads all over articles. Mm. Anyways, we'll take a quick breather before we wrap things up here on Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9. The Stripes there with "What a Shame," because it's now time to recap our stories for Biz Bites for today. And we started off talking about Facebook Stories that was launched in Ireland recently, which looks exactly like Instagram Stories, and it puts a dent in Snapchat yet again.
Yeah, and then there's GoDaddy's updated site builder platform called GoCentral, which now offers up to 1,500 different categories and possibly even more with the help of AI and machine learning to make it even easier to build your website and maintain it.
Yeah, and then Alibaba, they finally confirm after months of rumors that it had raised $1.1 billion in funding for its spin-off Kobe business, Koubei, check it out, which helps people find deals at restaurants, gyms, karaoke bars, and other local venues.
And Google fighting the fight against dodgy ads as they have taken down over 1.7 billion dodgy ads throughout 2016. These are, you know, those ads that flash and have text like 25-year-old Malaysian millionaire buys 14 million ringgit penthouse in the world's most expensive city. I literally just stumbled across that ad as we went to break.
Now, if you missed any parts of today's show, you can check out the podcast, which will be up soon on BFM.my. But better yet, you could just get the BFM app on your smartphone. We're on the iOS App Store and also Google's Play Store. It's a lot easier to listen to us. Give it a try. I'm sure you will love it. Mm-hmm. Now, coming up at 12:30 p.m. is the Breakfast Grill replay.
Yeah, so Julian Ng speaks to Dato Sri Hassan Kamil, who is the Group Managing Director of Syarikat Takaful Malaysia, as the sector is set to maintain its double-digit growth amidst a challenging economic climate.
Yeah, that's it for us. But do stick around. Enterprise Biz Bites will be back tomorrow with you, Arvin, together with Audrey. And you guys have a story about this wearable tech that apparently doesn't quite work well with people like you and me. And about people who are apparently hairy and dark skin in color. So, you know, do we finally have what we call, you know, I don't know what to call this product. Is it like a racist technology? I'm not quite sure. Mm. Anyways, we got to tune in to tomorrow, same time at 12 p.m. And you're on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.